We've been walking through this part of conversations with the Holy Spirit. And then I started into this thing called kazom. Kazom is just the Hebrew word for vision, dream, and revelation. People perish with lack of vision, lack of a dream, lack of a revelation, lack of kazom. People get lulled to sleep. People perish. They taste and see he's good, and they walk away from him. And the Bible says, you know, not everyone is going to make it. As much as we pray for that, God's will is none would perish. Not everyone's going to, and some are going to miss it, not because they didn't attend church, but because they missed it because they just let go. And they didn't embrace him and grow. So we started walking through, and I just want to talk briefly, and that to finish off where I was. If you have the notes in front of you, you can follow along in your handout from your bulletin. And I talked about four phases of this vision, four phases of a dream. When God is speaking in herself, there's four phases that you can walk through to navigate to try and understand better what he has created you for. I started off and I talked about number one is the Spirit's prompting. Spirit's prompting. Or dionuma is the Greek word for that Spirit's prompting. And that you can find in Acts chapter 20, verse 22 to 24. And that I'm pulling out of this, and that is an encounter, an experience that you can see all through Scripture, through the major great individuals of faith, that God had called them to do something. They had that Spirit's prompting. They had that dionuma moment where God just said, aha, hey, nudges us to move in a direction. If you are breathing today and you are a Christian today, then everyone in this room has had a dionuma moment at least once or maybe multiple times. Now, whether we've embraced it, whether we've said yes to it, whether we've recognized it, well, that's a whole nother thing. But the Spirit of God is constantly speaking, and he says, my sheep know my voice. Why am I stressing that? Because for too long in our churches of North America, we have blamed God for not showing up. We've blamed God for not doing something miraculous. We blame God for a lot of things, and listen to me and hear me clearly. The problem has never been and will never be God. The problem is us. We don't say yes. We don't let go. We don't embrace. We don't walk with him and allow Holy Spirit to lead him like we should all the time. Listen, before you get going on that, Paul in the Word of God says, hey, the things that I want to do, I don't end up doing. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. And he's coming with this plea of desperation inside of him, and that's saying, I need your help every day. Every day. In fact, if I put it a different way, and I've said it before, is it's impossible to serve God. It's impossible. We just can't do it without his help. How on earth do I love on the God who created everything? How on earth do I surrender? Do I give? Listen, he doesn't need anything from us. But he wants you. He doesn't need you. He can do anything he wants, anytime he wants. But he's chosen to want you and I to participate with him. Everything you say and everything you do, it matters in the kingdom of God. It matters. Number two, and that we talked about, is certain uncertainty. And that in hearing God's voice and walking with him and moving, as first is the Spirit's prompting, and then all of a sudden it's a certain uncertainty. I don't want to go into any more on that because last week I talked about it, so you can go on to rockcliff.org and you can catch up on that under sermons. But let me move to number three. Number three in this kazom and this vision and how God unfolds things to us, and we can see from Scripture, and that is predictable resistance. Predictable resistance. Listen to me. This idea, oh, if God's in it, everything's going to be a walk in the park and everything's going to be great. I don't know where that ever came from, but that is not biblical. The Bible says that you will have and that trials of many kinds. In fact, when you know that you know you've had that deo-pneuma moment, that spirit prompting, that God is saying, hey, move this way, expect predictable resistance. The devil will bring resistance around any way he can. It could be on a Sunday morning, you're trying to come to church, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose, and the kids are at each other, and that, or all of a sudden, your husband or your wife's at you, or whatever, and it's all foolish. It's all little things, and it really, if you pause and listen to each other, it's really nothing but it's just the enemy's predictable resistance because he doesn't want you to grow. He doesn't want you to open yourself any more than you have to God. He doesn't want you to walk into your destiny because he's afraid if you do, then the people around you will be free too, and they will see God in such a way that your family members and others will say, man, I don't know what you're doing, but I want that God you have. Amen? I don't know about you, but I need that. I want that in my life. I want him to be made large. You see, as you step out, you can put into your calendar that your spiritual enemy is going to come and try to talk you out of it or do something to throw you off course. In Acts chapter 20, verse 23, it reads this, I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Again, please connect to last week's message online so you can get some of the precursor to this moment. But I want to fast track from here. And that is we realize and we come into this place of this predictable resistance. In other words, there's going to be an enemy that's going to try to stop you from doing what God has uniquely called you to do, or what he's created you to do. You can see this from all the great stories in the Bible. Let's walk through a couple. We see Moses. We've got to get these people free, but Pharaoh's your predictable resistance. He keeps resisting. I mean, like, after one plague, you think someone would think, wow, wait a second, this is crazy. Man, maybe I better let go. When the Bible says that there is this hardening of his heart, there was a resistance there. And he just kept pressing back. And he says, oh, well, you're going to do this? Now you got to make more bricks and no straw or less straw. And he just kept piling on this. And Moses got tested and tested. Yet God gave him a deo-pneuma moment saying, hey, I'm going to set my people free. And I want you to go tell him to let my people go. God is putting in your heart and my heart where he's speaking things. Maybe illness was the way the enemy brought before you. Maybe it's a word someone's trying to speak over you. Maybe someone says, well, you're not valuable enough. You're not worth it. You messed up in this. You can't do this. Oh, you this or you this or you that. And everyone has 2 cents in it all. Because the enemy will use anyone's tongue. He will use anyone's hands that he can get a hold of. Not just unbelievers. I don't really want people to put their hand up for this, but I'm going to do it anyways. How many people have ever been hurt by word or action at least one time in your lifetime in church? Right? We got a little bit in this section that never have. Come see me. I'll help you with that one. Whenever you get people together, you're going to have some rubbing shoulders and some things are going to happen. Whenever God starts moving in a direction, you're always going to have some that buy in right away, others that have to wait a minute to see something move, and then others that dig in their heels and say, I shall not be moved. And they're just not moving, right? And it's human nature, right? And that is just human nature because of the way we're formed and what's happening. And whenever the flesh leads, whatever we allow the flesh to lead in our life, you can bet your dollar, anytime God starts to do something, you will be a part of the resistance. And you'll be smacking against it. Why? Because flesh and spirit don't mix. God says we're born again. We're not meant to walk in the flesh. We're to walk according to the Spirit now. And he's quickened inside us the ability to do that. Joseph, he says, I got this vision to be a great leader. His brothers say, no, we like your coat, but we don't like you. We're throwing you into a pit. We're selling you into slavery. Vision, resistance. God gives you a picture of something and someone else says, oh, that will never happen. Oh, that's too big. What are you, crazy? Who do you think you are that you could see that happen? I don't know about you, but how many times has God put a picture or something in your heart and you begin to start to whisper it out to someone and then all of a sudden someone's trying to kick your feet out? How many times has God put something in your heart to go and take a step towards something and all of a sudden someone, goodwilled it should be, but all of a sudden they come and they start telling you all the negative that could happen? So what happens? Now you have a choice. Are you gonna, in certain uncertainty, are you gonna doubt that Dionuma moment where God spoke into your heart? Now in that certainty, because uncertainty, because predictable resistance has shown up? Listen, just mark it in your calendar. If you wanna listen to God, you wanna hear from him, you are gonna have resistance come. And the enemy is gonna try to stop you because he does not want you to grow one more step with God. He doesn't want anything to shift in your life. If he's got you in comfortable mode and cruise control and everything is okay and things are peachy creamy and we're just kind of, yeah, we worked hard, we got in this and we're just kind of sailing down the road, and that he's going to leave you right there. But listen, there's no cruise control with God. He's constantly working in our life. From glory to glory, he's doing stuff inside of us if we will remain open to him. How about Nehemiah? I've got this burden. I've got to rebuild the wall. The Jerusalem wall was down. It was broken, and raiders would come randomly at different times and attack, that pillaged the city just as it's trying to get up on its feet. The enemy would hit it again. And he gets this burden inside of him. He says, someone's got to fix it. And then God says, ah, it's you. And he says, Dionuma moment. But as he's there, then we see this guy named Sanballat, if you pronounce it that way, and Tobiah. They all of a sudden say, you know, no, we are not going to let you do it. And there's predictable resistance where they show up and they start taunting him, telling him, come off the wall. You know, oh, that's silly. Don't do this. Come on over and eat with us. Come on over. And they're trying to pull him away from what God asked them to do. Let me just promise you, when you hear from God and you take a step of faith, all hell will break loose. You get a vision to have a godly marriage and say, you know what? We're going to pray together. You start praying with your wife or your husband, and all of a sudden they don't like the way you pray. You pray too long. Like, why do you have to use words like that? Why can't you just make it simple? And the next thing you know, a shoe's flying across the room. Why? Because you took a step in the direction that God wanted you to take, and you got predictable resistance. So what are you going to do with that? You want to get financially free, so you take a step towards it. Something is going to break by Friday. You feel in your heart, God's put something. Something's going to break for you by Friday. And you get this in your heart, you start moving towards. And then all of a sudden, something expensive breaks. And now you got to fix it. And what happens to that part where God says something free, a release in your finances is going to happen by Friday? What do? We let go of that. Because resistance came up and now we're like, there's no way, pie in the sky thing there now because I got to fix this. Listen to me. God is bigger than anything we face. It's time that we make God large again and our problems small. Too many of us has allowed our problems to be so large that they are equal with God, and in some cases larger than God. And then we wonder why we're in so much trouble, or we wonder why we can't hear from him, or wondering why everything is so difficult. It's because we have made God smaller than our problems. Or you get vision to get in great shape, but then you go to the grocery store to buy fruit and those chocolate chip cookies, President's Choice. they're jumping out of the aisle saying 75% off. Buy me now. You can just know it because there's that predictable resistance and you have to press through. So just because God has put something in your heart doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. It means that he wants you to grab by faith what he has put into your spirit. Even though there's uncertainty, you don't have all the details, you're going to hang on to that word that he put inside of you, and that not faith in the things you see, but faith in the things you don't see, that you know he said it, so you know if he said it, money's in the bank, he's taking care of it. Don't be tossed to and fro by the waves. Make them large. Certain uncertainty, predictable resistance. Many of you, God is stirring in you today, and you're going to want to step into certain uncertainty, and something is going to cause you to pause. Something's going to cause you to press through it. You see, what's your next step? I believe many of us, it's the Kazom experience. I've been talking about this. If you go to kazom.com, okay, I'm going away to Mexico with 10 others, and I'll be gone for 2 weeks. When I come back, I'm going to walk through anyone that wants to walk through this experience not on their own, to help you, to guide you, to lead you. Why? And my leadership team will help me with it. Why? Because we want you to succeed. We want you to hear from God. I don't need to be the one that only hears from God, because I believe we all hear from God. Amen? In that part is, as we walk through this experience together, if you go to kazom.com on your computer, it will bring you up onto this site, and right there it'll say, you want to learn more about it? Click this. You scroll down a little further in behind me here. Jeff, if you just bring that up. Sorry, I didn't. So here's what it's going to look like as soon as you go to kazom.com. If you don't click it now, Jeff, but if you click on that learn more, it'll share a little bit more about it. And that scroll down just a little bit. Okay, Kazom is the Hebrew word for vision. It's what God has in mind for you when you were created. Discovering your Kazom starts with examining your core values, spiritual gifts, and your past experience. These three areas will help you identify common themes, bringing clarity to your unique passions and leading you to the purpose that God has just for you. The best part is that you can start planning your next step towards pursuing God's vision, his Kazom, for your life today. Scroll down just a little bit more. Now, this section is all five teaching videos. It's like a little mini Bible study. If you want to do this on your own, here is the participation guide to go with it. There's over 50 of them on the little black table just outside of the glass room. You can grab this. You can walk through it. In fact, I encourage you all to do this while I'm away. And then when I come back, if you want to join together with us, we'll go through it together and we'll journey, because we are better. But listen, here at Rockcliffe, it's going to be very hard for someone not to grow. Here at Rockcliffe, it's going to be very hard for someone not to hear from God. Here at Rockcliffe, the days of just waiting for God to show up are not going to be there anymore, because he's here. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. See, I will fail as a pastor. Please hear me on this very clearly. I will fail as a pastor if I do everything. That's not why God asked me to be here. He didn't ask me to be here to do everything so everyone can enjoy and everyone can hear and embrace. But he's called me here to correct, to rebuke, to encourage, to exhort, and that to challenge, to teach his word, all for one purpose. One purpose, and that is to release each and every one of you into the work of the Lord, into his business and what he has. So the days of not knowing what he wants are going to be a day of yesterday. Because in the days ahead, he's going to bring very strong clarity and vision. Now listen to me. I'm not saying by the time you walk through this, everything is going to flow and just like everything works together. But what I am saying, what you sow, you will. Some of you have been sowing for a long time. And so when you step into this encounter together and we walk and journey together, you're going to harvest it and God's going to download lots. For some of you, this is going to be the newest thing you've ever done and God's going to do the same for you. For others, you might walk through and all it does is get you thinking and moving in a direction, but you still don't have full clarity. And we're going to pray for that because I really do believe that God doesn't want us walking blindly. There's certain uncertainty and we don't always know the details, but we'll have that moment inside. I use a different word than just that dionuma moment, that spirit prompting, but I use that bearing of witness, right? When all of a sudden someone shares something with you, God told me, right? Like that, all of a sudden that young man comes up to that young girl and says, God told me you're to marry me. Well, if that young girl turns around and says, he never said that to me, well, then she should have enough inside of her to say, thank you very much, but I'll have to go talk to my daddy. I'll have to go talk to God about that because he hasn't put that in my heart. Just because someone says, thus saith the Lord, doesn't mean it's from God. And in these last days, there's going to be a lot of people talking for God, about God, and being way off. Scripture tells us that. So if we are not prepared and we're not in a word and we're not knowing who we are in Christ and what he's asked us to do, then you and I can get duped into it too. None of us are elite. If Eve in the garden, in the perfect environment, no sin, no corruption, no anything but the presence of God, and she could fall, don't let pride come in to think you can't either. Don't let pride come in to think that you're above it and you and God's got something special. No. Every one of us can if we get our eyes off of Jesus. So, participation guide. Participation guide to go with these five videos. It's right out on the table. You can grab it. If you don't have a computer or if you're not computer savvy or you're just like, I just don't know, then wait for me. And when I come back, we'll put together and we'll find a time and we will walk and journey together. Amen? I don't care how long it's going to take. I just really believe we need to get in line with him. And when we're aligned with him, his favor flows. Amen? I don't want that just for Rockcliffe. I want it for you. You matter more, not just for what you can do. We need help in our nursery. We need help in the youth. We need help in lots of areas. That's so true. If we're going to keep moving as a church, we really got to do. But listen to me. I can shut a program down. I have no problem. But you matter more. And I really want to help. And that's what the leadership echoes to. We want to help you hear from God, walk with him and come in alignment to the destiny that he's called you to. Just scroll down a little bit further for me. It's hard to read right now maybe, but we got a participation guide. I just printed them just in case you don't have a printer at home, but that is the participation guide that you can download on your own and you can print again. The spiritual gifts test. It's like 50 questions. You sit down and you just kind of, you know, is this an expression of who I am or is this or that? And it's just kind of a general overview, right? It's just kind of a general overview, a very little look at some things and that. But when you go through the experience, it will actually help you pause, reflect, wait on God and realize God says, I will turn everything around for good. For those who love me according to my plan. So listen, even the bad and ugly things that have happened in your life, it shaped you to who you are today. Right? Either shaped you in a not good way because you haven't forgiven, because you're still hanging on to something, or it shaped you into the person you are today that can be very effective and a good tool in the hand of God. So if you're here and stuck, oh man, you're walking into a season to be free if you open your heart. If you're over here and you've just like guarded your heart and you're in this place, God's about to unfold to you some destiny direction. On there, the spiritual gifts. I took a moment and I went through the gift test myself just to see, you know, where is it at, you know, that idea. So this is my top five gifts according to this test, okay? Number one gift is exhortation. So back on that table again, just in case you forget and or didn't keep or hold of, I broke down and gave a general definition of the gifts. And I wrote it down. Then underneath there, I gave scripture so you can look up the scripture. And then I gave you a list of areas and things that you can start dreaming about. Some of the stuff we don't do here, but who knows? Maybe God wants us to do, and you're the one to help start it. But you'll see all sorts of ways, creative ways that you can use your gift. Now, I did place in here, so please hear me, so that if someone turns around and scholarly looks at it and says, what? Teaching? Pastor, apostle, missionary, prophet, the fivefold ministry? How could that be in there? That's not a gift. That's an office. I get it. But I also believe it's part of a gift too. And I believe that there's some people in this sanctuary right now that you've not been called to full-time pastoring, but you have a pastoral heart and gift. There's some in here in this church, you've not been called to go to the mission field full time, but everything inside of you beats missions. It's the way God formed you. So we want to walk through this. So let me pause for a moment here. The first one is exhortation. And that the first and my highest score, so to speak. So let me read the definition. Exhortation, the ability to minister words of encouragement, consolation, comfort, motivation from God's word to help others complete their task and help their problems. This applies to the secular skills and knowledge as well as ministry involvement. Number one, that going through this little one. Number two was faith. Faith, the ability to discern with extraordinary confidence the will and purpose of God, and to propel the body of believers into actively proclaiming or claiming the promises of God. Number three on the gift test that I took, and that was discernment. Discernment, the ability to know with assurance whether certain behavior claimed to be of God is in reality divine and of God, human or satanic. The purpose of this gift is to prevent confusion and false teaching from infiltrating the church body. Gift number four that was on the list of gifts was the gift of healing. The ability to serve as a human intermediary through whom God's healing powers apply to another person physically or emotionally in need. And the last one of the five, because it gives you your top five, was miracles. The ability to serve as a human intermediary through whom it pleases God to perform acts that are perceived by observers to have altered the ordinary course of nature. That's just through this little gift test, okay? So again, just because it comes up with something, I don't run like that little, the young girl, when the young guy comes up and says, oh, God told me you're to marry me. And she's like, I don't even know your name. Who are you? Just because you click on a button and all of a sudden it comes up doesn't mean, but we are going to journey together. We need to start somewheres. Amen? So if you don't want just to do life as normal and you would like Holy Spirit to lead you, you'd like God to take the wheel, so to speak, and let him drive in your life and show you the adventure that he's got you, then I encourage you to partner with your pastor in the days ahead as we move into what I believe God is calling us to. So let me finish with the last one. So there is the Spirit's prompting, the Dionuma moment. You need that. If you don't get that, just sit down, wait on God, because those that wait on God shall renew their strength. That when you wait on him and you wait for his word, once you get that marching order, that's when you take your step. Too many of us run ahead of him. Be patient. Word says, be anxious about nothing, but in everything, in prayer and petition, bring it before the Lord. Many are the plans in a man's heart, But he says, I order their steps. Trust not or lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him. Just because you saw a gift, just because you saw this, and oh, well, this is how I saw it, so this is where I'm going, that's not true. How many times in the Bible did you see God do the exact same thing twice? Not that many times. God is inexhaustible in what he can do and how he can do it. So just don't lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Listen to me. We're on a journey. It's not a quick sprint. I got my ribbon. I'm going to heaven. It's this marathon. And as we're running along, the great cloud of witnesses is cheering us on. Don't grow weary in doing good. Come on, keep going. God's got a prize at the end for you. Keep pressing in. He's still got something for you to do. Grab a hold of what I have, he says. Test me and see that I'm good. Let me show you. When we allow him in our finances, when we allow him in our marriage, when we allow him in our kids, when we allow him at our workplace, we allow him everywhere to lead us. We got to stop listening to the lies the world is constantly saying. You can't pray at work. You can't pray at school. You can't talk about God. You can't do this. You can't do that. Listen to me. I talk about God all the time. I don't have to say these and thous. I don't have to use some Christian terms. I don't have to turn around and say, thus saith the Bible and this scripture and this verse, but I share God's truth everywhere. And to the limit I'm allowed, I'll share whatever I have. God doesn't need much. He says the seed as small as a mustard seed can move a mountain. It's time that we stop allowing the enemy to silence our voice and the enemy to silence what God is doing in our heart, but that we use even the seed of a mustard seed and we plant it and we watch what God will do. I'm not sure what mountains are in front of you right now, but I'm believing with everything inside of me, my God's doing a shaking and mountains are going to start to move. And we're going to see God move in a greater way than we've ever seen before. Not because of you, not because of me, but because he says in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit. And I don't know about you, but when I look around, it sure feels like we're in the last days. So I'm willing to embrace that and say, God, pour out your spirit. We need you more now than we ever did before. So let me come with the last one. We'll find this in verse 24. And the last one is, there is uncommon clarity. Uncommon clarity. Let me explain. You have to feel the power of this statement of what Paul is saying. He says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. You've got to get that in your heart, the power that he is declaring there. It's not just my life is worth nothing, whatever, you know, I just kind of, no. He is coming to the part where he is in such a place in his life that he says, you know what? All of my dreams, all of my aspirations, everything that I want to accomplish, everything I want to do, I will throw them all away for one, and that's you, Lord. What do you want? What are you saying? What do you have? You see, you and I were bought with a price. Amen? The second part of that says you're no longer your own. So it's no longer what Phil wants. It's no longer my dreams and my ideas. But now it's, what are your dreams? What are you saying? What are you doing? What do you have? And we walk in that. In other words, even if it will kill me, if I do this, there's nothing else that matters. Even if I lose a friend, even if people don't like me, even if things don't move in the direction that everyone else thought it should, I'm going to do it because I've had my Dionu moment. There's uncertainty. I don't know all the direction. I don't get it all, but I know there's resistance, but there's this uncommon clarity that in the midst of the storm of life that everyone looks at, you're sitting in the boat falling asleep. And you're like, my God's got it. Because I've had that Holy Spirit has spoken to me and nothing else can take it. For the mom here today, that God has spoken to your heart over your kid and you're not seeing the whirlwind is happening right now with your children, maybe they're not serving the Lord, or maybe they're off doing their own thing, don't let go of that dianuma moment where he spoke in your heart that they will serve the Lord. Grab that. He's going to pull it in. I don't know timing. I don't get all of that because I'm not God, but he knows it. It's time that we put our trust in him again. If only I may finish the race and complete the task, Paul goes on to say. In other words, I can see it. I've had the dianuma. This is why I exist. This is my somewhere on purpose. I'm not going to end up somewheres just randomly, but I'm going to end up somewheres on purpose because I'm trusting God and I know he's leading me. This is my vision. This is the dream that he's put, my revelation. This is my kazom. Acts 20:24 says, if only I can do this, that purpose that God has called to, that dianuma spirit speaking into his heart, the task the Lord Jesus Christ has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. This is why I pray that God, that if you haven't experienced the power of vision and dream and revelation from God in your heart, that you will. That these days ahead are going to turn your life back upright with purpose and passion like never before. Because when you have the clarity, this is what I was created to do, you can endure anything. Then that scripture that we all kind of mumble of James chapter 1, consider pure joy when you go through trials of many kinds, you can actually do that. Because you know why you're here, right? You know what he's doing. So when your coworkers and family or others don't treat you right, when things don't look right or they don't work the right way, you're okay. Because it's not about any of that. Because the Bible says everything we do it unto the Lord. So it doesn't matter if everything doesn't go the way we want it to go. In fact, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that not everything goes the way I want it to go. Because I'm not God. I'm glad he messes up my life and he turns things around and he says no and he says yes and he moves right and he moves left. But when I hang on to the cross, I hang on to him. He unfolds everything. He unloads everything. He says, my burden is easy, is light, and my yoke is easy. You're not an accident. You have been put here by God to do something. I'll tell you right now, I'm created by God, and that to lead a local church of believers to become fully devoted to him. I'm doing precisely what God asked me to do on this earth. I don't really fit the molds. Forgive me for that. I know I don't. I hang out with pastors all the time, and I just don't feel like I always fit. I just look a little different. I act a little different. I think a little different. But that's uniquely how God formed me for this season and this time. And I really believe with everything inside of me that if we'll join together, we are going to see what God has promised, and he's spoken over this church. He's not passed us by. He's not forgotten us. And that, but the dreams and visions, he says, you just need to get ready. Everything you've dreamed and the visions you've had, they're small. Because I want to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could dream or ask according to my riches. The problem is we just got to make him large again. That with him, all things are possible. If I died tomorrow, besides missing my kids grow up, walking my girls down the aisle, missing my lovely wife, I honestly can say I have no regrets. I know I'm walking in the purpose that he's designed for me. Not a single regret, because I'm doing what he's called me to do. So as Paul, I say, I consider my life worth nothing if only And when you get to that point, you're like Nehemiah, who was in the Old Testament. He had a vision. The walls were down over Jerusalem. He was feeling prompted that somebody's got to do something about this. No idea. He cries out to God. He gets down on his face. He spends days fasting and praying. And God says, your burden, your assignment. Dia pneuma, spirit prompting. What do I do next? I don't know what to do. Oh, I'll go and set an appointment up with the king and take the next step. Predictable resistance from Sanballat and Tobiah show up. He starts building the wall, and in just days, everyone else says that it's totally impossible. You can never, ever do it. The resistance comes, and all of a sudden, a messenger comes from Sanballat and says, hey, let's come down and have this little meeting together. Here's what he's saying. Look at the uncommon clarity that Nehemiah responds with in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3, when he's getting the taunting coming to him to get down off of what God told him to do. And this uncommon clarity comes, and this is what he says. He says this, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Uncommon clarity in Nehemiah, where all of a sudden he's up on this wall with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other because the enemy was constantly wanting to attack and constantly trying to throw off. But he had heard from God. He's saying, no, you're not going to distract me because I have uncommon clarity. And that I know what he said, I know what he's got, and I'm focused and I'm moving towards the prize. I'm doing what I was created to do. You see, I'm doing a good work, Nehemiah says. You can't tempt me with any kind of offer. You've got a job for me that makes more money. Maybe you're here today and someone is trying to pull you away from something that God wants you in that place on purpose. And you say, I can't be bought. You got something that's going to provide me more comforts? I'm not living for comforts. You got something that's going to make me more popular? And maybe someone is trying to woo that way? My audience is not for you. I'm living for the audience of one. You see, this is the moment when you have that unclarity in your heart. All of a sudden, you can say no to something because you've already said something to yes to something better. You see, if we don't learn how to say no, you'll never be able to say yes with certainty in your heart. And the only way to say no or yes is to have Holy Spirit prompting your heart 24/7. And that's why we get so tossed to and fro. That's why we have such a hard time in this Christian walk, is because we started on the right foot, but then we got off track. We only can come to God by the Spirit. You can only stay with God by the... Let's try that again. You can only come to God by the Spirit. You can only stay with God by the... We need Holy Spirit. Not just to get saved, but to do anything in this life. To remain in Him as He remains in us. To be able to do that, we have to have Holy Spirit leading us all the time. Let God speak to you. Let Him whisper to you. Spirit's prompting, certain uncertainty, predictable resistance. Take the next step. And when you take that step, step by step, faithfully led by the Spirit, one day you're going to say, I'm doing a great work. This is what I was created to do. You can't talk me out of this. There's nothing that's going to stop me from living the kazom that God has asked me to do, because everyone ends up somewheres, but few people end up somewheres on purpose. If you trust them, you'll end up somewheres on purpose. Sir Francis Drake said a prayer, and that has been recorded and said by millions of people all over. And this is the prayer that he said. It's in your little handout. It says, "Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves. When our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little. When we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when we dream too little." Ended up somewheres, but not somewheres on purpose. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask right now, Lord, this is not about a program. This is not about a website. This is not about just filling in time. This is about we want to humble ourselves before you. We want to turn from our wicked ways. We want to turn from the distractions and idols and other things. And we want, Lord, to hear from you. Once again, would you speak? Once again, would you open our ears to hear what you're whispering in our voice, your voice into our heart? Lord, I pray and thank you, God, every believer can hear you. Every believer can hear you. Help us, Lord, to get rid of the distractions and things that may be causing us to have that voice muffled. Forgive us for the times we repeatedly said no to your prompting, which has deafened our ears to be able to hear clearly. But today, you're cleaning them out. Today, you're shifting things. Today, you're saying it's a day of new beginnings. Today, you're saying and that if we would just open our heart again, you will pull that dream. You will pull those words you've spoke over our lives that we've kind of let go or we put aside because we didn't think it was possible. But today, you're going to put it back into our heart again. And as we embrace you, we're going to realize that you were wanting to do it all along. So God, I thank you right now for the kazom, the vision that you've created each and every one with. I pray that you would help them to find that clarity, that focus, that purpose. God, Lord, I pray that you would help us understand that we were created for more. Lord, that it's more than just a paycheck. It's more than just a mortgage. It's more than just raising kids and doing this and doing that. But there's a divine purpose, Lord, that you have placed inside all of us, Lord. God, a reason to live, a reason to move. Lord, so much so that Paul even declared, he says, "I consider my life worth nothing if only I may be able to do what you created me to do." God, Lord, I pray that conviction. I pray, Lord, that would move and stir in our hearts, Lord. God, Lord, I pray right now as an act of faith, Lord. You said as we draw close to you, you will draw close to us. So, Lord, as everyone's eyes are closed and their heads are bowed, Lord, we just pause for a moment here, Lord, and I just feel you're saying, Lord, that prompting, Lord, that you want us to take a step. You want us to do something, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray right now by faith, Lord, by a show of hands, and that not for me, but for God, and that if God is stirring in your heart and he's speaking towards you, and that that he wants to do more, that you're not content with where you are with him, I'm going to encourage you by an act of faith, and that is a sign of just saying, "God, my heart's open towards you." Just slide your hand up to him and say, "God, I want to hear from you. God, I need to hear from you. Lord, for this next step of my life, the next days, the next things that you're doing, I need to hear from you." So God, Lord, with the hands raised right now, God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, God, would you just come and will you begin to fill those hearts right now with passion, with vision? Will you begin to come and speak? Would you begin to rearrange, Lord, do a spring cleaning, whatever needs to happen to prepare each and every heart, Lord, for what you would have? God, as long as they have breath in their lungs, there's still purpose. There's still something to accomplish. They're not written off. They're not off to the side. But God, this is the best day for the church. It's the best day ever for them and what you have ahead. It doesn't matter their losses. It doesn't matter all the heartache and all the stuff. Lord, you still have something for them to do. And so, Lord, would you stir that? Would you encourage them? Would you speak that, Lord, in and through them? And as we journey together over these next months, oh God, I thank you right now, Lord, that we will never be the same again. God, we're not looking with some expectation that you have to do A, B, C, D. We're just coming with an expectation. We want you to be large in our life. And whatever that looks like, we just know, God, that if you're large and you're leading, we want to follow. And so, Lord, I just give you praise. I give you glory and honor. And I thank you for each and every one. I thank you, Lord. I could not be at a better church than right here at Rockcliffe. God, I am so excited for what you're doing. Thank you for allowing me, Lord, to be a part of this season. God, I would never have dreamed I got to be here for the 100-year anniversary. Yet I wasn't here only 8 months. But yet, some of us, Lord, you're echoing that too. Said, maybe you haven't been here a long time. But that doesn't mean that you're not in on this too. If this is where God has called you to be, and this is the church that God has that has planted you in, then I just say bloom and grow. Join with us, run with us, and let's see what God has in that in the days ahead. So God, thank you in advance for the clarity you're going to bring. Bless each and every one, I pray. Go before them and behind them. Overwhelm them with your goodness. And Lord, as we recount all your blessings that you have shared, that we shared today, Lord, of what you are doing over our daycare, over our seniors complex, over our church, God, we are overwhelmed. And as we count those blessings and we name them one by one, Lord, it will start to help us to make you large once again, that nothing is impossible for you. So bless each and every one, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen.